And so we pick it up here, 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 21. And it says, let me get to the correct book first of all. 16:21. He makes a statement here that then the people of Israel were divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Timnai, the son of Ginath, to make him king, and half followed Omri. But the people who followed Omri prevailed over the people who followed Timnai, the son of Ginath. So Timnai died and Omri reigned. And in the 31st year of Asa, the king of Judah, Omri became king over Israel and reigned 12 years. 6 years he reigned in Tirzah, and he bought the hill of Samaria from Shemer for 2 talents of silver. And then he built on the hill and called the name of the city which he built Samaria after the name of Shemer, the owner of the hill. Now Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord and did worse than all who were before him, for he walked in the ways of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and in his sin, by which he made Israel sin, provoking the Lord God of Israel with anger with their idols. Now the rest of the acts of Omri, in which he did, and the might that he showed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Omri rested with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. Then Ahab, his son, reigned in his place. Now, when we get to Ahab, we have a lot said about David, and we had a lot said about Solomon, but not a lot said about these kings. But in Ahab, we're going to cover 4 chapters because we're going to see this dynamic between Ahab and his lovely wife Jezebel, and of course, Elijah, you know, so we're going to get into that. Omri, of course, takes over as king after the assassination of Elah by Zimri. Israel made their general Omri king. They went up there and attacked Zimri. Zimri was on the throne for a total of 7 days, which I found kind of somewhat morbidly amusing when it says all the acts of Zimri are not written in the Chronicles of how much can you do in a week, right? And so, anyway, and every time they ask a question, I don't know, we don't have the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah. We don't have the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. We don't have these books. And so, after the assassination, then Israel made General Omri king. And after only a week on the throne, Zimri commits suicide by burning his own palace down over his head. If I can't have the palace, well, no one else can, see. So he burns it down. Now it's interesting here that half of Israel, instead of following Omri, half of them Timnai. Now who's Timnai? I don't know. This is the only place in the Bible he's mentioned. We know nothing about who this guy. We don't even know what his position was. But apparently one half of Israel at least didn't like Omri. And so they said, we're going to follow this guy. So there was a civil war. And in the civil war, Timnai loses. And those people who follow him lose as well. Apparently there was a lot of people not happy with Omri. He was a general. We don't know exactly what his reputation was, but there was a rebellion immediately against Omri. So Omri definitely defeats eventually defeats Timnai. We're not told how long the struggle was. But notice here, I wanted you to notice here that thousands probably died in that struggle, right? In these battles. Now, God offered total peace. You know, you didn't have these great battles taking place by and large when the judges were ruling. You know, matter of fact, Jerusalem is called the city of God's peace. That's exactly what Jerusalem means. But when you follow sin, there's always destruction when you follow sin. There's always people who die. There's always people who get caught up in the gross wickedness. And because of this, the Lord let them go, and they have the civil wars, and they have assassinations, and you see this as a pattern when we get away from the Lord. And when you're going to see a lot more of that in our country when the tyranny takes full force. We see it today. We see the fact that those people who commit mass murders and such evils are let go. They don't care if they get caught because nothing's going to happen to them. When you get into sin, this is what happens. You know, that's why, Ecclesiastes 8:11 says, men's hearts are lifted up to do evil because justice is not speedily executed. You know, and so we see the new criminal code that the D.C. just passed. The old one was bad. This one's far worse, you know. And so it's a definitely criminal rather than victim-centered code. And so you see this evil. Now, Omri reigns for 12 years. Matter of fact, it's kind of interesting. The Assyrians called Israel the land of Omri, right? And they called him that all the way up till the end. Even though Omri only rules for 12 years, they called it the land of Omri. So whatever he did during that time made an impression on the neighboring kingdoms. It's because they labeled this whole area. Now, it's interesting that Omri reigned 6 years in Tirzah in the north, but he moves his capital to a more central location. Now, if you look at your Bible map, Tirzah is towards Dan, up from the far north. It's not central at all. Matter of fact, you notice if you take a look at a map of most of states, their capitals usually aren't in the center where the state is, you know. And so a lot of them off to the side there, you know. But here, he decides to move. Now, Samaria is an interesting location because it's on top of a hill. It's easily fortified. And so besides that, Omri probably didn't have a very nice palace because remember, Zimri burned it down. And so he decides to move. And here's what I find interesting about this passage here is the fact that he buys this from a farmer. By the way, land must have been pretty cheap back then to buy a whole mountain for just 2 shekels of silver. But he buys it from Shemer, and he names the city after him. Samaria comes from this guy's name. And so not only is the new capital Samaria, but the whole section becomes known as Samaria. When Jesus in John chapter 4 says he needs must go through what? Samaria. It's after this farmer. That's not bad. A farmer gets, you know, a very prominent position here in the entire scripture. And it remained the capital of Israel until 722 BC when the Assyrians sent him in exile. And then it became the name of the mixed people. The Assyrians had a habit of taking half of one population and moving it to another place, and half of that population moving back to mix them so there wouldn't be a national, you know, patriotism. And they became known as the Samaritans. And you have people who are called Samaritans even to this day. There's a whole Samaritan sect of the Jewish religion. And we saw it in John 4 with the woman at the well, right? We say we worship here, and you say you worship there. But there's even a Samaritan Pentateuch that the scholars, you know, study. It's a little bit different than what the Hebrews have. And so they say, well, for one thing, every time they says, and they went to Jerusalem, they changed it in the Samaritan Pentateuch. They went to Samaria. So they moved Jerusalem out and put Samaria in its place. But so this farmer gets his name splattered all through the Bible because it was called Samaria. Now, as if the kings did not do enough, sinning, Omri did more. He made more idols. And he made more. Now, this is, by the way, here's a point we need to get in mind, and it's hard to. You think God would strike him down right away, but he allows him to rule 12 years. And so some of them, like Nadab, rule only 3 years, right? And some, Zimri gets on the throne a week, he didn't even warm the chair, by that time. And, Manasseh is a wicked king, rules for 50 years. I mean, 55 years. And we can't judge God's approval or disapproval on someone based on how long they live. There's some real rascals who live a long time. And there's some real godly men who died early. And so... You see read some of the biographies of some of our missionaries, and some of them didn't live very long at all. Brainerd and Judson, Adoniram Judson, and some died fairly early. A Borman, and so some of these guys, and so we can't say God must be happy with this guy because he lives a long time. God must not be happy with this guy. Just take a look at James and John. James is the first one who gets killed. John, his brother, is the last one who dies, and he's the one that gets to write the book of Revelation, right? And so we can't judge because this guy's really ill, so he must be really wicked. That's not the way it works. Remember, the apostles made that mistake, say he was born, who sinned, that this guy's born blind, right? Did he sin, or did his parents sin? Well, no, they believe in prenatal sin. And he says neither one, but that the glory of God might be manifest. And so we can't, Job was asking that question, right? Well, what have I done to cause this? As if he must have done something really bad or evil to cause all this to come on me. And the Lord doesn't even answer that. Because there's purposes far beyond what he can imagine, right? And the same thing with us. There's purposes far beyond what we can imagine why God allows us to go through things. And so Omri's allowed to live for 12 years, or rule for 12 years, and the wrath of God is upon him, and Omri follows the ways of Jeroboam and even adds to it then. And it says, and he causes Israel to sin. Most translation has he makes them to sin. Actually, what we have is the same thing that Jesus talks about in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where he calls them to stumble. You could either encourage someone in faith or you can make them stumble. Matter of fact, that's what we have over 1 Thessalonians 5. He says, do not quench the spirit. You can actually hurt someone's walk. I notice every time that there's an issue within a body of church, it's the weaker ones that get trampled, right? And what happens is the fact they're the ones that leave and go away, and they're the ones that need the most help. Jeremiah talks about that it's the very shepherds who cause the sheep to be scattered on the hills. Over in Zechariah, you strike the shepherd and the sheep will what? Sheep will scatter, It talks about that in the 12th chapter of Zechariah. And so here, Omri trips them up, caused them to stumble. And being the leader, he heaps judgment upon himself. That's why James 3 says, don't be many teachers. That word actually can be translated masters. Don't. If you're going to be the one to be the example, you better be what? You better be a good one, right? Be you follow me as of Christ. If you're a bad example and you're causing others to stumble, right, and others to fall, yours is a stricter judgment. Not only did you sin, but you were the ones enabling and encouraging other people to sin as well. And so God is, I thought, very patient with Omri with all these sins. He still allows them to rule for 12 years. He finally dies. A long life doesn't necessarily mean God's happy with that person. Matter of fact, Romans 2 says just the opposite. He said, you know, who knows that God has blessed you that you might know the goodness of God, that you might what? Come to him, right? That you might, you know, respond, right? Come to the gospel. Come to Christ. And the sinner, though, that the longer they go in sin, the more judgment they build up for themselves. You know, some are beaten with few stripes and some with many, according to the Lord. And an early death doesn't necessarily mean God is unhappy with this person. Matter of fact, we found back in the 14th chapter, he says that he took Jeroboam's son because there was some good in him. Not because he was evil, but because of the fact that God did not want him alive while the judgment on Jeroboam's house is poured upon him. And so that's why 1 Corinthians 4, you remember, the Corinthians are just pounding Paul right there, criticizing everything else. He says, you know, don't judge anything before it's time. He said, I don't even judge myself. He says, I'm just happy to have Jesus judge me. But quite often, when we make a judgment, we're looking on the outside, but God looks on the heart. You know, 1 Samuel 16:7. We need to understand that we'll have to allow God to make these judgments, right? Now, the certain area that we do judge, I mean, obviously, Titus 1, we're going to talk about Titus 2 in a little while. Titus 1, he tells them that to select the leaders who have certain qualities. So he has to judge those, what he sees. But as far as what the end result is, you might have some of the most wicked people like Manasseh, who eventually comes back to the Lord, it says over in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. You don't know. We keep praying, we keep serving, but the Lord is the one that makes the judge. If we were to judge it outside of Samson and say, man, this guy is not a godly man at all, but Hebrews 11 says the world wasn't worthy of him. It's kind of confusing, right? And if you take a look at the life of Jacob and Esau, sometimes Esau acted more honorably than what Jacob did. And so the Lord is the one that judges these things. So we're not to jump to conclusions. For example, Paul thought Demas was a pretty good guy. But then it says in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, it says, Demas, having loved his present world, has left me. Well, Paul, even being an apostle, could not tell that this man was not going to hang in there, right? You just don't know. That's why the Lord says he endures till when? Till the end shall be saved. In other words, and of course, I understand the context has to do with a sort of an aspect of physical endurance. That's talking about the tribulation in that chapter. But we have to understand that you got to be there to the end. And that's what Ezekiel 18 talks about. He said, if a righteous man becomes evil, his righteousness will not be remembered. But if a wicked man repents and starts doing what's right, then his wickedness shall be forgiven him, and that shall not be remembered. And so ending well is important, right? Crossing well is important. So we're not to jump to conclusions. You know, Manasseh repents. You know, we look at Samson. We look at Jacob. You know, the Lord will judge each one of these aspects in these men, but the Lord is the one that gives the final judgment. That's why David asked the question in Psalm chapter 2. He says, why do the heathens rage? Why do they imagine a vain thing? In other words, I don't understand, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? And then at the end of chapter Psalm 2, he says, but then I remember their end, right? I remember their judgment. He doesn't judge everything here. You know, he doesn't settle accounts here on earth. Accounts are settled later on. And so we are not to despair. Matter of fact, that's what you have in Ecclesiastes 5. He says, don't despair when you see the oppressor, because the oppressor also has a judge. And so things aren't going to be settled right here in this life, but they will eventually be settled. And we have to have that kind of confidence. So we're not to despair when we see the things happen. As a matter of fact, we are promised. It's not a promise we want to grab a hold of, but a promise that in the end times, men are going to do what? Yeah, they're going to get worse. Boy, we see it. They're going to get worse. And yet the Lord is allowing them to heap judgment for themselves. So God has his reasons for what he allows. And he has a purpose and a plan that's beyond our understanding. And that's why he told Job, when Job was questioning him, Job 38 says, who's this that darkens counsel? And who is this that imagines a vain thing? In other words, Job, who are you to call me of account, right? Same thing in Romans chapter 9, where Paul says, who are you, O man, to call against God? What if he, that is God, to show his glory, will choose some for his purpose, that he might show the glory of his both salvation and his judgment upon the wicked? I mean, God is the one that does the choosing. Moses was told that, and we'll end here and have our discussion. Moses was told that, and by the way, it's also mentioned in Daniel chapter 2, but he said in Exodus 4, he says, I'm the one who raises up, right? I'm the one who knocks down. I'm the one who makes the blind blind and the dumb dumb and the lame lame. I'm the one, the Lord did that for my purposes. And we say, why? None of your business. He has a reason for all this. And by the way, none of this would have happened if it wasn't been the fall, right? All this is part of the fall, and all these things that come upon us is because of the fact that we're in a fallen world. But Omri did more evil than all the rest before him. And when it says he rested with his father, it doesn't mean the fact he went to peace. I'm pretty sure he went to judgment. And so that's always been a question. And when Samuel came up in the cave of Endor, the witch of Endor, and he tells Saul, he says, where I am, you're going to be here tomorrow. Does it mean that he's going to be saved? Or does it simply mean, in fact, you're going to be dead? And so that's always been a debate. Well, let's pray and we'll have our discussion. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here, and Lord, the privilege of learning from your word, Lord. And we see this, and you're a judge of all things, Lord. And Lord, we want to serve you in such a way that not only do we honor your name, but we understand those things that belong to you, we keep there, Lord. In your name I be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen.